Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazareth. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Stand against the power of our God. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. And sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you've had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time
as well.
Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke 11, 14. Luke 11, 14. Hang with me through this sermon, all right? Hang with me. It's going to be a little bit different, but I just want us to realize something. Could you imagine, Luke 11, 14, could you imagine if you were in a country and there was this covert war that was going on and broke out, but you didn't know about it? Could you imagine, right, if maybe there were people that wanted to kill you or sabotage you or see you fail? Could you imagine if you were taking pop shots from people shooting things at you or saying things about you or sabotaging you? You'd be like, what in the world is going on, right? I'm hoping today that you're reminded that you are in a war, and it is going on all around us, right? You have an enemy that hates you. You have an enemy that wants to see you destroyed, that wants to see you killed, right? That has no grace for you. I don't want us as followers of Christ to be unaware of this or unengaged in this war, right? We talked about last week, I'm tired of seeing young people cut themselves. I'm tired of hearing about another young person that's committed suicide. I'm tired of seeing families broken up by drugs and alcohol, right? I'm tired of it. It needs to change. My friends, we need to get involved in this war. We need to realize it. You also need to be prepared. You need to be ready for it. So when those shots come at you, right, you realize, hey, there's somebody trying to draw a wedge between you and your spouse. There's somebody trying to do that, right? There's somebody trying to draw you to bring disunity to this church, right? Man, so many times I have this complaining spirit that just pops up. Who's that from, right? That's from the enemy. So many times I want to react in a certain way towards a certain person, right? And then God comes in and softens that and is like, that's not the right way that I'm calling you to do. You have an enemy. We have an enemy. Let's realize that so that we can be better prepared to fight that. Today, I want to look at that enemy, and I want to look at what their capabilities are. I want you to realize what the enemy can't do and realize what the enemy can't do, can and can't. So that you're not unaware, you know, so that you don't wonder why bullets are whizzing past your head. These forces are real, right? There are spiritual forces that are very real, and they are at work in your life. You can be a follower of Christ, but they are at work on you. And I'll show you that through his word. 1 Peter 5:8, this is what Peter said. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter wrote this to the elders of the church. Hey, be alert, right? Pay attention to what's going on. Be attentive. Be of a sober mind. Be of a clear mind, right? Because you have an enemy. You have an enemy, and it's not your spouse most times, right? You have this outside force that's trying to draw wedges, trying to hurt you, trying to come against you, trying to draw a wedge between you and your kids, right? Wants to destroy you. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Word of God is what it is? Peter wouldn't issue this warning if it wasn't real. Right? Given to the elders of the church. If you're growing spiritually, an enemy is coming against you. When somebody accepts Christ for the first time, you know, I usually warn them, hey, the enemy's coming against you right from the get-go. The enemy's going to tell you what you just did is baloney. You can't believe that you fell for that, right? That's the enemy. Be aware of it. You just joined a side, right? And now you have an enemy that's going to come against you. If you are in ministry, you have an enemy. Right? That wants to thwart everything, that wants to cause problems with your team, right? If you have a church body, of course he's going to come in and try to destroy that unity that we should have. Of course he's going to make us complain about little things, right?
Make no mistake, your enemy will come after you. They will try to draw you from the body of Christ. They will try to draw you from the work of Christ, right? And they will try to draw you from Christ himself in your relationship. I see that happen all the time, right? People pull back. That's when the enemy picks us off. The enemy wants to get us alone, right? There will be strife that builds up at your home. They will attack relationships. They will attack your marriage. Things will be happening. The enemy has schemes. So be aware. Look for that. Recognize it. Oh, when something comes up, man, I'm thinking the enemy's coming against me. I'm going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand on his word, right, and what his word says, right? Luke 11:14. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Right? The people witnessed this act going on, Jesus driving out these demons, right? This was a common occurrence back in this time period. In Matthew 8:16, it says this, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out spirits with a word and healed all the sick." Multiple accounts of Jesus doing this, right? Mary Magdalene had 7 demons that were cast out of her, and she became a follower of Jesus Christ. These forces are real. Now, in this account, some people witness this demon coming out, and they have to come up with some kind of explanation, right? They say he must be using Satan's power. Jesus must be in league with the enemy. When you read this in Matthew's account, you see who's saying these accusations. You see who's coming against them. And it's the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones who were saying these things. Jesus points out to them, though, how foolish they are, because their own students were driving out demons. There are other people in the Bible besides Jesus, besides followers of Jesus, right, that were driving out demons. Jesus points out, a house divided against itself can't stand. So we need to be aware that people can be possessed by demons, as unpopular as that is today, right? Luke 22:3 says, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12." Here we see it happening, the act, right? Now, what can they do or what happens, right? When you look at the first verse, it says that Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. Notice it doesn't talk about the man. It talks about the demon itself was mute. When a person is possessed by a demon, the person takes on the characteristics or the personality of that demon. This demon was mute and the person became mute. Judas was entered by Satan, right, and ends up betraying Christ. He took on Satan's personality. When Jesus casts this demon out, suddenly the man can speak. When we read these accounts, I think some things come into our mind. Does this still happen today? Could it happen to me, right? It's a freaky subject, not one that's very popular to talk about. And so I hope you'll hang with me through this, right? Does it still happen today? Well, are these forces still at work today? Yeah. So why wouldn't it still happen today? With saying that, you don't just become demon-possessed. It doesn't just happen, right? It's not like you're living your life and all of a sudden a demon pops inside of you and it just randomly happens. I believe the Word teaches us that if you are a believer, that if you are a follower of Christ, you can't be possessed. That's what I believe the Word says. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I'm going to tell you what demons can do to believers at the end, but I don't believe that they can possess you. I don't believe a demon would want any part of you if you are actively following Christ living and walking in step with the Holy Spirit, right? Look at how they react to just the presence of Jesus. They cry out. Everything that in the Bible shows you that you have to invite these demons, you have to invite these spirits into your life, right? You have to allow them to come in. Think about this, right? How does the Holy Spirit indwell you? We say you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, right? You're inviting him in. Does he just barge in? No, you have to invite him in. Jesus, John says in 14:23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings." There that is, right? "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." You're a child of God, or you're a child of the enemy, a child of wrath. You can't be both, right? I'll explain this a little bit more, but I just want you to put you at ease a little bit. Possession implies ownership. Possession implies ownership and control. But what does Paul tell us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, right? You were bought with a price. What was that price? You were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? 1 Peter 1:19, the blood of Jesus Christ redeemed you. You belong to him. Can anything take you away from Jesus? Can anything take you away from the great shepherd? The great shepherd carries a stick to beat the wolf away, to beat the bear away, to beat the animal that comes to seek and come against you, right? And Paul reminds us in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor any powers, nothing in creation can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ," right? So, I don't believe that you can be possessed. Hang on, though. I'll tell you what can happen. You have to invite these spirits in your life. Now, do people do that? Absolutely, right? Some people know demons can give them powers. We see a young girl that could predict the future, right, in the Bible that was given to them by that demon that possessed them. Some people have strength. Ungodly strength and that can break chains and everything like that. That's attractive to some people. And some people will, in some religions especially, will invite those spirits into them, right? Now, here's where we need to be careful as followers of Christ, right? And really non-followers. Some people participate and do things that flirt with this, right? Ouija boards. You invite a spirit to take control and move that around and speak to you, right? Yes, be careful with that. Right? Stay away from that. Palm readings, tarot cards, seances. You are inviting spirits into your life, into your presence, right? And we need to steer very clear of that. Do I think you're necessarily inviting them into you? No, but are you going down a path that might lead to that someday? Yeah, steer clear. Stay away from those things. These things should not be a part of your life, not be a part of your house. And I'm here as a person called by God to warn you about those things. Satan and demons are great at disguising themselves as something harmless, as something fun, right? It's just fun to get a tarot card reading. It's just fun to go to a fortune teller and see what they might say about me. Make no mistake, right? He is a lion prowling around, seeking to devour you. No, he doesn't show himself as that. He's not like Hollywood portrays him as this ugly being, right? No, he appears beautiful. We talked about this in Sunday school class. So many things in Sunday school lined up with this. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14. "For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ." My friends, anybody who gets behind this pulpit, right? You better be checking what I say, what anybody says with the Word of God. When you're on YouTube listening to people who call themselves preachers, right, you better be checking it against the Word of God and seeing if there's something that goes off in your head that says this does not align with it, right? And no wonder, though, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. False teachers don't come up to you and say, "Hey, I'm going to try and draw you astray, you know, and I hate Jesus and all these things." No, they're going to give you enough truth mixed in with enough false truths to get you to buy into it, right? They don't claim to be of the devil. They claim to be of the real deal, right? Satan is an angel, a fallen one, but that's who he is, right? And he comes to deceive, and he comes as an angel masquerading to be appear to be of light, right? Playing with those Ouija boards can seem fun, can kind of interesting. Going to those things, you can do that. You know what I mistakenly have participated in, right? I've never been into those things, but I don't like slasher movies. I don't like Michael Myers and those type of slasher movies, but I like the demonic ones. Like, and I'm not proud of that, and I'm not watching those anymore, right? But you get me, Poltergeist, Amityville Horror, The Conjuring, those things like literally scared me, and so they were fun for me. But I can't be messing around with those things, right? You shouldn't be bringing those things into your house, right? There's no need for that. That is just me. Deuteronomy 8, 9 through 13. This is a verse that's kind of hit me of late, right? When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire. Right? We do that in America, don't we? Let there be no one who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. God says very clearly to them, right? I can't stand those practices. If anyone is practicing them, right, they are detestable to me. Do we want to be a part of that? Very strong language. Let's not mess around with any of those things. They open doors to other things, right? Don't rationalize it when it comes to these things. Steer clear. God hates these things. We play around with stuff way too much. Let me give you another example. If I were to come up here and to say, hey, you know, adultery is not that bad, right? You know, if you've been married for 20 years and things aren't just hitting the way that you would like to, you know, go ahead and find another person and, you know, you deserve to be happy, right? There's not one of you who wouldn't come up to me afterwards and let me have it and say, that does not line up with the Word of God, right? But what if we put it in a song and your favorite musician sang that doctrine? How many of us would also sing that? How many of us would have no problem playing that, proclaiming that, right? That's what we're doing when we're singing songs. We are proclaiming a message. How's your tape roll? How's the music that you listen to? Man, my second cassette tape was AC/DC. I love that. Man, I could sing it right now. That's ingrained in me. It's in my head. Right? Is it good? No. Would I dare, if Jesus Christ was standing right next to me, would I dare even listen to that? No way, right? I'm not telling you all secular music is bad, but I'm telling you, you better look at what that secular music says and be careful when you sing it what you're proclaiming. You're proclaiming a doctrine that either lines up with the Word of God or doesn't, right? Be careful. I liked AC/DC because it made me feel aggressive. It's good to work out with, right? I drove differently when I listened to that, and that was fun. But the message, not the direction that I want to be heading. Be careful with those things, right? Think about what are you inviting into your mind, into your heart when you listen to music? Because I guarantee you, you're memorizing it. I guarantee you, it's good. Music has a special place beyond just like music, right, to really affect us more than I think anything else. So be careful with that. I'm not saying you're on the way to demon possession by doing that, but I know you're being influenced by some messages that are contrary to the Word of God, right? And you are supporting that message for other people too. Be careful with that. Deuteronomy passage says, don't consult the dead. We make movies that glorify that. And remember the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore, right? What's that message? My loved one is looking over me, trying to communicate with me. These aren't biblically true, right? But I know tons of Christians who believe that. You won't find that in the Bible, though. Hopefully you know that your dead loved ones are not communicating. God could give you a message. God could give you a dream and whatnot, right? But if you're hearing from your dead loved ones, is that really your dead loved one? Or is that somebody masquerading to be that dead loved one? My friends, millions and billions of, we talked about this in Sunday school, millions and billions of people have been led astray by angels, right? Fallen angels. Started out with the creation account. Look what happened there, right? If you look at Mormons and what they teach, people see them as great people, really good people. They have a better reputation than Christians, right? But they teach that God himself was once a man, and he became God. They say that can happen to you too, that you can also become a God. That's what they teach. Joseph Smith said the idea that God has always been for eternity, he said, I will refute that, right? Where did Joseph Smith get this belief from? He was visited by an angel. An angel told him this. I 100% believe he was visited by an angel, but it was not an angel of God, right? That was a demon that put that into a head. Islam, the prophet Muhammad, where did he get his teachings from, his special revelation? That revelation, he said, came from the angel Gabriel. An angel visited him. My friends, be careful, right? Again, I know that was an angel. It just was not of the Lord, right? How many people have been led astray by these teachings? Billions. We want to be careful what we allow into our life. We want to search it, right? And know if it's true and if it's of God's word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, they pose as ambassadors of Christ. They're posing to be ambassadors, right? Followers of Christ, but not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Check us. Check the people behind the pulpits with the word of God, right? And if I say something that's off, you come and tell me and point that out. Do it in a graceful way, right? We need to be in the word of God, right? That's how you recognize things. Somebody, I think Adria was saying, somebody said something and a ding went off in her head, right? And said that didn't line up with the word of God, right? That happens. That should happen. You have to be in this though. You have to be studying this. You have to know this, and God will reveal that and remind you of those things. You know the story that every pastor talks about, counterfeit money, right? The people who look at counterfeit money, they don't study and look at counterfeit money. They look at the real thing. They look at it so well that they can then recognize when the counterfeit comes in because it does not look like the real deal, right? That needs to be us with the word of God and what pastors and other people are saying in these messages that are coming to us, right? That should be you and me. When I read something about demons, when I read something about theology, I'm checking it against the word of God. Does it line up? And if it doesn't, and if I can't even prove it with it, I'm not going to give it much credit, right? If it doesn't line up, I'm not going to give it any credit. But if I can't prove it with the word of God and see it in the word of God, then that's going to be low for me. Make sure things line up. I'm here to warn you. I'm here to tell you, you have to be a person of the word, right? And it's more than just knowing the word. You have to be a person who's following Jesus Christ. You have to be a person who's walking in step with the Holy Spirit, right? I want you to understand something. I'm hard usually on the Pharisees when we preach and talk about them. In the passage we read, right, they're coming against Jesus again and doing their thing. The Pharisees, though, they didn't start off as horrible people. They were the good guys, right? They were the ones that had the greatest intentions. They were the ones who saw all the garbage going on around them in their world, and they said, we don't want to have anything to do with that. We want to be separate from that. We want to live rightly. We want to live holy lives that are pleasing to God. That's how they started out, right? Right? They were the most devout Jews who were truly seeking to live the right way. They wanted to please God. They didn't want to be like the culture around them, noble. But what happened over time, right? Many of them became self-righteous. They started to add laws to what was given to them by Moses through God, right? They took pride in keeping those laws. They looked down on the people who didn't keep all those extra 600 laws. And suddenly people started to look up to them. Suddenly people started to put them up on a pedestal, right? Suddenly they were almost being worshipped for how good they were acting, right? And they liked that. They come to love that and appreciate that. And that's why they had such a problem with Jesus. Because what happens when Jesus comes in and he starts driving out demons and healing people, right? The people's attention was taken off them, and they're seeing, oh, this guy is somebody who speaks with the authority of God. This is a person who's driving out demons. This is a person who's healing people. Wow. And their attention was taken off of the Pharisees and put on him. And so guess what? They couldn't even listen to what Jesus was saying. They couldn't, because they were so jealous of him. And so they had to invent a way. Well, the only reason he's able to do that is because he drives out demons by the power of Beelzebub, right? We find a way to believe what we don't want to believe. We find a reason to not believe what we don't want to believe, even if it's the truth. My friends, we need to be careful of that, right? The reason I share this, too, is because we can get very caught up in pride and self-righteousness, right? You can come up with your own beliefs, but do they line up with the Word of God? Pure and simple. Are you staying humble? I want to stay humble. I don't want to be arrogant, right? I've been to other churches and heard Christian pastors say they're going to take on Satan and basically beat him up. And if I'm honest, those statements just seem pride-filled, right? I see the Word of God, and it tells me to resist the devil, and he'll flee. I see Jesus modeling a discourse with Satan where Satan is tempting him. And what does Jesus do? He quotes the Word to him. That's how he fights, right? That is our weapon. We're not physically doing anything. We're resisting him, and we're quoting Scripture back to every claim that he brings to us, right? We're just telling him what's in the Bible. Satan will come against you and will attack you, right? Try to get us to doubt, try to get us to have anxiety. And how should we react, right? We react in faith, react by quoting Scripture back to him, by using the Word of God. God doesn't call us to throw punches at him, right? He calls us to quote Scripture and build our lives upon that Word, right? That's how we battle. Greater is he who is in us, right, than he who is in the world. Verse 21, 22, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. The strong man here is Satan. He's guarding his house, his kingdom, right? But Jesus is the stronger man and is able to overpower him. And this goes back to that house divided thing. He's letting the Pharisees know that it's by the power of God, right, that he's able to do these things. And then he gives them a very interesting warning right after that. Because there are two different kingdoms at work, right? You can't be of both kingdoms. There are two different kingdoms. So what's he say? You better pick one. Verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather scatters. He's letting them know. He's letting us know. You're either with me or against me. There ain't no middle ground. The enemy wants you to think that there's a middle ground. The enemy wants you to stay uninvolved in this war. There is no middle ground, though. Either you're gathering people to Jesus Christ or encouraging that and that kingdom, playing a role in that by the spiritual gifts that he's given you, or you're a stumbling block. Or you're scattering people. The Pharisees were scattering people. They were pushing people away from God, right? And they were so good to start off. That can't be us, right? We want to bring people to God, and we better be grace-filled. We better speak truth when we do that, right? It's very important, right? Jesus draws a line in the sand here. No middle ground. Can't be lukewarm. Verse 24 through 26, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is important, right? Demons get cast out, but they can come back in, pure and simple. If the house is empty. Right? If the house is empty, then there is a danger of the enemy returning. If the Holy Spirit is in you, though, the house is full. The stronger man, Jesus, is in the house, occupies the house, and the weaker cannot come in. If Christians could be possessed, then they could be repossessed, right? I have cats. Started off with one, built to five, and now we're at 11, right? If I wanted to get rid of those cats, I'm glad Lydia left, right? If I wanted to get rid of those cats, I'd probably go buy an airsoft gun and start going out and shooting them to chase them away, you know? I wouldn't do that, right? But if I did that, even if I did that, they'd come back because there's going to be food there, right? They know that home. But if I quit feeding them and I go buy some big dog that hates cats, right? Those cats aren't going to come back. Who are you inviting to live in your house? Who do you dwell with? Is it the King of Kings? Is it the Lord of Lords? Is it the Holy Spirit? Are you living your life in a way that you're dwelling with Him? Then I don't think you have anything to worry about when it comes to demon possession, right? Again, our primary weapon to combat Satan is the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you, right? Like, I've been beating this and beating this, and I tell you I'm beating this and beating this. Do not give up on being in the Word of God. We have free Bibles back there. We have things that you can read through the Bible in a set order, right? If you start reading in Genesis and you start going that path, you're going to get to some really rough books that are hard to read, right? But I want you to encourage you to keep going through them. You should read through the Bible cover to cover. If you're struggling with that, start with the New Testament. Read through that first, right? There's a path back there that you can read through it in 30 days. Discipline yourself to read the Word of God every day. Every day I am in this book. Every day I'm not just reading it, right? I'm saying, Lord, show me where I don't line up with this. And don't you dare, right, let me be in opposition to this. And He's constantly showing me areas that need to change, right? Especially involving work for some reason here lately. But I want to live for Him. I want to live in line with this, right? I didn't like reading this. My mom made me do it. I did not like her for doing this. I'm so glad that she made me do it, though, right? And now it is something I crave. When the storms come, it is something I can go to and find refuge in it. Some of you are struggling with anxiety. Some of you are struggling with depression. And I want you to discipline your life and to be in this like you've never been in it before. I'm not trying to shame you if you're not. I just want you to have what this offers, what He offers, right? I want it to be a refuge for you. I want you to love reading it. And I know it doesn't start off that way. I know it doesn't, but it can get to that point. Get in there, read it, right? It's our primary weapon too, right? You're fighting battles. You have an enemy. You're fighting battles. And if you're not in this, you're fighting a lion without a sword. And you're going to lose. I don't care if you come to church. If you're not in this, you're weaponless. And you're going to lose that, right? You don't want to be wrestling with princes and powers and principalities without that weapon, right? All right, now I said Christians cannot be possessed, right? But that doesn't mean that they cannot be oppressed, that they cannot be attacked, that they cannot be thwarted, that they cannot be plagued. You can be tempted, right? You can be influenced. You can have strongholds in your life that appear like you are possessed, right? But they don't have ownership of you, but they are influencing you. And that's where we need to be careful with those things. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:17, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, right? Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. Who's a messenger? An angel, right? An angel of Satan to torment me. You can be tormented. God was doing this to keep him humble because he was given extremely great revelations, right? But you can have those influences upon you coming against you, right? We see Job is afflicted by Satan and has ulcers, Job 2:7. In Acts 5:3, Satan fills Ananias' heart to lie about how much money he got from the sale of a piece of property that he owned, right? And Peter says that he lied to the Holy Spirit. Peter himself had Satan influence his words, and Jesus rebuked him in Matthew 16:23. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul wanted to visit some people, but he says Satan blocked his way. Satan is at work on you. Satan is your enemy. You are going to wrestle with him. He can gain a stronghold in your life. The biggest stronghold I've ever seen in a person's life is unforgiveness. Oh, I've seen unforgiveness will drag you to hell. I guarantee you it. Right? Do not let the enemy have a stronghold. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? If you're messing around with stuff, seek repentance. Repent. Turn from that direction that you're heading and follow him. Get in line with him. There is a broad road and there is a narrow road. And I'm here to call you to that narrow road, right? I'm here to remind you, hey, get on that road. Don't get off of it. Don't play around. Don't play games. Get back on that road, right? I want you to remind me of it when I get turned around and out of balance. Hey, James, get back on that road, right? Your attitude's a little suspect there. Man, be careful, right? Satan will put things in your head. He's going to block ministry. Oh my goodness. When you're a pastor, right, and I'm trying to think about what to preach on, and there's these mental blocks that come. And I don't know why I do this, but then I remember, oh, I need to pray. Right? And I guarantee you, it is like right after I pray, something pops into my mind. Oh, that would be the message, right? Why am I stupid? I'm a pastor, and I'm not realizing that I should be in prayer. Some things only come out through prayer. Isn't that what the Word tells us? We need to be people of the Word. We need to be people of prayer, right? Enemies coming against you. You need to recognize that, right? You need to have a weapon, right? And you need to be in unity, in step with the Holy Spirit, and that comes with prayer. That's when God tells you, hey, you're off in this area a little bit. He throws you through shows you that through the Word of God, right? There's a battle going on, my friends. We're in a war. Don't you dare let something into your life that invites spirits in. Here I'm to warn you of that. There are things that will invite spirits into your life. Don't you dare do that, right? No place. If you have done that, repent of that, cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Get some other believers with you, right? And get them to pray for you and to be a part of that. I've seen houses that just feel creepy when I've gone to them. And I know there's something going on. I've met people that there's something going on different than whatnot, you know? Be careful with that. Ephesians 4:26-27, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. My friends, you can give the devil a foothold if you refuse to repent. Don't do it. When the Holy Spirit lets you know, hey, you screwed up, or when you read the Word of God and you're not in line with this, repent. Don't continue on that way, right? Repent, seek his forgiveness. Give it to him. Continually give it to him. Bring what's in the darkness into the light. Lord, I keep messing up with this thing. I want to do this thing, but I know that it's not right. Would you please take it away? Bring what's in the darkness into the light. Talk to Jesus Christ about it. I guarantee you, if you talk to Jesus Christ about that, you are not going to do that thing. Guarantee it. Like, as soon as you quit talking, as soon as you kind of pull back, right? then's the opportunity to fall. Grab some other believers around you and ask them to pray for you and to join you in that prayer, right? Seek forgiveness from people. Oh, man, if you wrong somebody, right? And if somebody wrongs you, let them know. Because sometimes you don't even realize those things. But seek forgiveness when you do. Don't be afraid to do that, right? And offer grace to people who mess with you and do things to you. Doesn't the word tell us that grace covers a multitude of sins? A multitude of things that have been done to you can be covered by grace. Grace was given to us. Let's be ambassadors of that grace, right? And share it with other people. I know this is a weird subject for some, but I want us to know there's a war going on. There's somebody who hates you. I love you, right? But there's somebody that hates you and wants you to be, wants to devour you, wants to kill you, man. Wants to make you feel shame, right? Let there be no shame. Let there be no condemnation, right? We care for each other. We love each other, right? We want to stand with each other. I don't want you to mess around with stuff. I want you to hear that, and I want you to know that there's stuff you shouldn't mess around with, right? I wish you were all in the Word. I wish we were all putting on the full armor of God. I hope we blast praise and worship music, right? There's, like I said, there's something about music. Do you remember King Saul and David? David would come in and play, and that evil spirit would leave. There is something about praise and worship here. If there's something going on in your house and in your side of your life, man, blast the praise and worship music, right? Sing it, proclaim it. Be in the Word, be in prayer. I wish we would pray more. I think if we really understood that there was a war going on, we'd pray more. I think there would be more than just five people that come in on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock and pray. Some of you were in kids' stuff and doing other things. I think there'd be more people that would come back tonight than just 10 people if we knew that there was a war, if we really believed that there was a war going on. I want us to know the authority that we have as children of God. I want us to know that the authority that Jesus was given by the Father, right, and that is extended to the children of God. Rebuke things in the name of Jesus Christ, right? When you feel those spirits coming against you, rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. Battle those things with the Word of God. When those things come into your head, right, you quote Scripture back to them. We got to be memorizing it, right, but quote it back to them, right? Will you discipline yourself? Will you discipline yourself by being in the Word and praying? If we do that, we're on a good path. And when He shows you something, will you get in line with it? Will you make it the foundation for your life? Right? Amen? Stand with me. There is a God who loves you, a God who sent His Son to die on a cross for you, to make a way so that you could be reunited with God. And Scripture tells us that if we believe, that if we call on the name of the Lord, right, He is mighty to save us. There's a God who wants to have a relationship with you, but there's also an enemy. But greater is He, right? Lean on Him. Lean on your brothers and sisters. Father, we thank You for today. Lord, I pray that we would not dabble in things. Lord, if there's something that we're dabbling in right now, would You help us to burn it, get rid of it, throw it away, destroy it, whatever it is, whatever it costs us, Lord. Don't let us play games. Father, if there are any spirits that are involved in people's lives or any strongholds, Lord, I pray by the blood of Jesus Christ, those strongholds would be removed. Father, I pray that You would fill us with Your grace so full that it would be a cup overflowing that extends to those around us, Lord. Father, would You unify us as Your church? We are Your body. Lord, let us dare not bring anything into this thing that's not of You, Lord. Father, give us opportunities to share the good news with those that we come in contact with. Lord, give us opportunities to share our testimony. Give us opportunities to share to people what You've done in our lives, how You set us free, how You've changed our trajectory, how You've changed our path, Lord. Give us those opportunities, Father. We know the harvest is ripe, Lord, but the workers are few. Father, let us be involved in being the workers in what you call us to do. Let us realize that you are at work in people's lives and you call us to be a part of that. For some reason, Lord, you give us an amazing opportunity. Let us be bold. Let us step forward in that, Lord. Lord, we love you and we give you all honor and praise. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.